Do all of you gentlemen know the story about John Newton? Specifically, you know all that? Well, may I read something to you that when I've done recitals in the past, and when I do recitals, and I try to include Amazing Grace and all the recitals, operatic music and that sort of thing, but I've got to put, you got to plant the seed of Christ in there. And the program is full of Italian, Latin, and other languages, and I have the translations. Well, I don't need the translation in English for Amazing Grace, but I do put the lyrics there. But I also put this. John Newton, the author of Amazing Grace, was a wretch, a moral pariah. While a new believer around 1750, John Newton had commanded an English slave ship. You know what that meant. Ships would make the first leg of their voyage from England nearly empty until they would anchor off the African coast. The tribal chiefs would deliver the Europeans stockades full of men and women captured in raids and wars against other tribes. Buyers would select the finest specimens, which would be bartered for weapons, ammunition, metal, liquor, trinkets, and cloth. Then the captives would be loaded abroad, packed for sailing. They were chained below decks to prevent suicides, laid side by side to save space, row after row, one after another, until the vessel was laden with as many as 600 units of human cargo. Captains sought a fast voyage across the Atlantic's infamous Middle Passage, hoping to preserve as much as their cargo as possible. Yet, mortality sometimes ran 20% or higher. When an outbreak of smallpox or dysentery occurred, the stricken were cast overboard. Once they arrived in the New World, blacks were traded for sugar and molasses to manufacture rum, which the ships would carry to England for the final leg of their triangle trade. Then off to Africa for yet another round. John Newton transported more than a few shiploads of the 6 million African slaves brought to the Americas in the 18th century. At sea, by the age of 11, he was forced to enlist on a British man of war 7 years later. Recaptured after desertion, the disgraced sailor was exchanged to the crew of a slave ship bound for Africa. It was a book he found on board, Thomas a Kempis, Imitation of Christ, which sowed the seeds of his conversion. When a ship nearly foundered in a storm, he gave his life to Christ. Later, he was promoted to captain of a slave ship. Commanding a slave vessel seems like a strange place to find a new Christian. But at last, the inhuman aspects of the business began to pall on him, and he left the sea for good. While working as a tide surveyor, he studied for the ministry, and for the last 43 years of his life, he preached the gospel in Olney and London. At the age of 82, Newton said, quote, "My memory is nearly gone, but I remember two things, that I am a great sinner and that Christ is a great Savior," end quote. No wonder he understood so well grace, the completely undeserved mercy and favor of God. Newton's tombstone reads, quote, "John Newton, clerk, once an infidel and libertine, a servant of slaves in Africa, was, by the rich mercy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, preserved, restored, pardoned, and appointed to preach the faith he had long labored to destroy," end quote. But a far greater testimony outlives Newton in the most famous of the hundreds of hymns he wrote, Amazing Grace.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. But now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. Please join. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shine.
Pray with me, gentlemen. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this year at CBS and the studies and the men and all the people that all our lives that you've touched. We ask you to be with everybody in this room tonight and move our hearts to share what's deep and inside, to encourage each other as we proceed with the night. We ask all these things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, so for those of you who haven't been in the format, this is really ad hoc in that the guys are going to walk around with microphones, and typically guys stand up and talk about what God's done in their life through CBS this year. It'll start out slow, there'll be some things, but generally we can fill up a good 45 minutes or so. I'm going to kind of kick it off, and Jerry's going to end it, but in the middle we hope you guys stand up and raise your hands. But before I begin, I think we got a couple people to thank. First of all, Steve Bradley did a great job on the pizza tonight right over here. Steve, you know, we actually have a treasurer, and that's Steve, and he takes care of, you know, taking all the checks to the bank and tithing to CBS Corporate and filling out 1,000,001 forms. Just 2 million. Okay, good. We got it. 2 million forms a year. He keeps us, with the help of his buddy there on the right, they keep us insane. Is he really? Oh, good. I got a problem. Never mind. Also, we got to give a big shout out to the boys in the back, Dan and Todd, our AV crew. They're the men. I do need help with one of the microphones. If one of you guys can come down and cover half the room, please. They're both new fathers this year, which is a big blessing. You know, Dan had his first, and Todd had his third. Yeah, third or fourth. Third for you, Todd, your little boy? First boy out of two girls, right? Two girls and a boy. And so we're very thankful for that, and we got to hear about the updates every week. That was a big joy. Of course, where's Dan? Did Dan have to? Oh, I thought you might have had a run, but Dan is another guy who takes care of, Dan Earthwaite here, who takes care of all the books for us in attendance. And so let's hear it for Dan. And I hope I'm not missing anybody, but we'll move on. When I look back on the year, for me, it's been a fantastic year in that it started last summer on a mission that I wanted to hear more from God. And I started reading books and doing stuff. And one of the things that I find that when I'm fortunate enough to come in front of you guys and talk, when Jerry's out, is that I learn a lot. And one of the ones that I can probably even remember to this day was the lecture I gave on the Holy Spirit. And I learned a whole bunch. He was there at the beginning of time. He's there here. He's with Christ when he was crucified. All those things that we talked about that time. And so what I want you guys to know is that that whole thirst in me to hear God continues. I went to a Kairos conference at CFC couple weeks ago, and I'm still cranking on that, but it's been, you know, for me this year has been great. When I look back, in that whenever time that I've had to come up here, it takes me 6 to 8 hours to prepare if I really do it right, with praying and reading and doing the checking out the commentaries and stuff. But it's a joy because I get my strength from you guys. I know I traveled a lot the last couple years, but this is a highlight when I get in here to see you guys, to shake your hands, and just to see the fellowship that goes on inside this room is a joy for me. So thank you, gentlemen, for showing up every week and being loyal to your core groups and stuff, because that's a thrill to all us guys here to support that, you know, support this cause. That's what I'd like to say. Does anybody have any, you know, now it's going to turn it over to you guys. Hopefully some of the leaders can help us get started, and then some of the attendees. Love to hear some from the new guys that never done Bible study before, how God has moved in your life. So do we have any hands? Come on. Somebody, please. All right, thanks, Clay.
I don't think I need the mic.
But I've learned so much in CBS, not just this year, but I think this is our fifth year, and I've been coming for 5 years, and I've been a leader for three. And it's been a joy to come here Tuesday nights and lead a group and participate in a group. And this is a core group of our guys. John and I lead this group. And this is a great group. We bond. We pray for each other. It's just wonderful. We love each other. We pray for each other. And the learning, I learn more from these guys as a leader than they learn from me. So I would just encourage all of you to keep this up. If the newbies that are here, we're all new in our walk with Christ, and it's the best part of my week. So, thanks.
Thanks, Clay. I got him.
I'm Jim Wright, and I've been coming since the beginning. I don't know what that is. Jerry, what is it? Six, 7 years here? I don't know how. When did we start this? When did I start at the beginning?
Eight.
Ooh, man, I'm getting old. But at any rate, I'm not a leader, and I didn't lead this year, but sort of like what I've heard. These guys, I love these guys. Those are not here tonight with us, but they speak into me too. And we pray for each other. We support each other. And got some good reports even today from some of the things we're praying about for them. And I just want to encourage everybody that's here in the summertime to stay in the Word. To stay in the Word, read your Bible every day, not part-time, every day. Because that's the strength. Being in the Word will convict you. It'll help you live a life that's holy and set apart. Because you're going to have troubles. We all do. But if you stay in the Word, you'll walk through it. So I want to thank Jerry. Some days I came in just to hear you, brother. Just to hear you. I need your tapes from last week, Todd. But anyway, for some friends. But I love you, brother. Everybody here loves you. You're doing a great work. You got another 10 years. You're getting better, brother. Thank you.
Yeah, I'd just like to say that I found that, this group on Tuesday night inspired me to not make any serious decisions in the course of the week until Wednesday. Completely straightens me out, and so I'm straight this way and I'm straight this way, and I'm just like capable of making a decent decision. The other thing I'd like to say is that this group also inspired me probably to do my personal best this year. I've finished my first ebook. I've never done that before, and it's probably the best work I've ever done. You know, it probably won't make any money. It's an obscure topic, but I'm really pleased with myself, and I want to thank you guys because a success has many fathers. Yep.
We had a new attendee this year, Dr. Peter Rothschild, and he sent me an email. And I asked him for some, not this one, hang on. This isn't it. So Peter says this, this year has been truly a blessing to me. It allowed me to transition from a professional relationship with Bill Perkett. I don't think Bill's here tonight, but he was in his small group, another doc, to a personal relationship with Bill and connect by our mutual love and curiosity for Christ. Men in my core group were so varied in their Bible knowledge and Christian maturity, I felt like I had the opportunity to teach and learn amongst the different individuals in the group. We gelled in our group, unfortunately, by mutual concern and prayer over life difficulties, but on several occasions celebrated victories as we praised God. But more importantly than anything, my understanding of Hebrews and Galatians is much richer than ever before, which has given me the desire to know and study the Bible in all parts in greater depth. And he thanks you all for your participation this year. So, Mr. Peter? Anybody that was new in here this year? We had some people that have been around for a while. Any of the new guys? Here you go. Yeah, you are more than qualified, my friend. God bless you. Thank you.
I don't know how many in here travel from out of state to come here. Anybody? That's how good you are. Montgomery County? Where? I come from Poolsville, Maryland. Each week, so it's a treat. It's so funny. I can see Reston from home, but you got to drive 100 miles to get here. It's been truly a great time. It's gotten back into study more than I have in the past. We've got a great table, as I guess everybody does. I appreciate Jerry very much from the first time I've heard you. Your desire, commitment to lead and assist people in moving forward in their walks with Christ. I don't know if I told you directly, but I've told our group that we felt it's like your gift from God, at least for me personally. So, I know you don't want to hear that, but your honesty and just continue to move forward and take each step each day. It's a new day, and we can go deeper every day. So,
thank you. Thanks for your time. Appreciate it. Thank you. All right. Hold on. Here we go. Are you new this year?
No. Okay.
It's about 16 years, right?
Almost. I've been in the church, this church for 18. I found about this church in a bar stool. Everybody loves that story. Lon especially. I started coming about 3 years ago, and I'm with this group. And I just want to underwrite what a couple have said about Jerry. He has certainly been a remarkable person that I've enjoyed listening to. And excuse me, pizza. I want to share a little story with you that in January I approached Jerry because of where he spent 4 or 5 years of his life, maybe more. How many years? Alabama. Not in college. I mean, not as a student.
I spent
the 5 of the best years of my life in college. The 3 of the best years of my life in fifth grade. Anyway, I asked Jerry if he'd talk to my uncle, who also lived in, what's in Tuscaloosa? I say it right? Okay. He was a pastor there, and he knew a mutual friend of Jerry's. People called him the Bear. So Jerry got on the phone for about 20 minutes and talked to my uncle on his 93rd birthday. And that was certainly a joy to my family, my cousins, and by all means, my uncle. Thank you, Jerry. God bless you.
Got somebody over here?
Thank you. My name is Scott Keeley, and I came to Christ here in this church in March 2010. This is actually my very first Bible study. And I was contemplating Bible study and procrastinating, and Tim here encouraged me to join the group, and I did. I haven't been here the whole session. I came in, I think, somewhere in the middle of Romans and finished up, but it's been a very good experience for me. I really enjoy the fellowship. When I came to Christ, I thought I was probably the only 53-year-old to come to Christ, until shortly thereafter, somehow I stumbled upon a podcast of Jerry's, and where he was sharing about a friend of his who came to Christ, and I think at around the same age. And anyways, it's just great. Jerry makes it fun. We get to laugh, and I find that really good, coming here on Tuesdays and laughing and having a good time and fellowship, and most importantly, getting closer to God and really digging in the Word. It's very, very important to me, so I hope to continue on here. Thanks.
Appreciate it. Great. Back corner.
My name is Rick Sinkergrana. I've been coming from the beginning, I think. And I'm part of this old guys group back here. We've been together for a long time. I still remember your names. Anyway, we do all the things you're talking about, praying, supporting each other, and so on, and I always get a lot out of the study and out of the lectures, and appreciate Jerry's pernicious sense of humor. It's always fun. But I've had some real and material benefits from this group as well. I want to tell you quickly. At the beginning of this year, a young guy appeared in our group. I don't know if somebody made a mistake, but we looked around. There was this young fellow there, and so we got to know him a little bit anyway, and he forgot his name. But he would show up every other week and all. And he wasn't very regular. He didn't come very regularly. So in October of last year, I was up in my daughter's house in Vermont, decided to take on this birch tree that was leaning over the driveway. Long story, but I got thrown off the ladder. I was about 20 feet up and went off about 12 feet in a different direction. Did manage to throw the chainsaw away as I was going down, but that resulted in 2 emergency room visits, a week in the hospital, and 5 weeks laying around up there, recovering from 4 broken ribs and 2 fractured vertebrae. So the one thing they told me was they couldn't do much. This is Middlebury, Vermont. It wasn't the most advanced medical facility in the world, but they said, go home when you're ready, get home, get to Virginia, and go see a neurosurgeon or an orthopedist. So anyway, I wound up in the office of a neurosurgeon, had an MRI. He called us in, we sat down with him, my wife and I, and she's been great through all of this. And he said, well, I got some good news and some bad news for you. And the good news is you may need major fusion surgery. We'll put all these discs together and the vertebrae, and we'll put steel rods and screws and pins in and all. That's the good news. The bad news is you may have spinal cancer. And he showed me this, all these hot spots and all this, so I had to go see an oncologist. So anyway, we saw another neurosurgeon, we saw an oncologist, we saw other doctors, and any of you who've been in a situation where you're dealing with anything complicated know you sort of never know where you really are. You're getting all kinds of opinions and all. So my wife's CBS group was praying for us. These guys were all praying for us. Lots of people in the church were praying for us. And when I came back, the first time I came back to this group after having been away all that time and recuperating, wearing this big, heavy vest and all, sort of looked like a tree trunk, there was this young guy there. So Doc asked me to fill the group in on where I was, and I told him what had happened and so on about the MRIs and all this. He came up to me, the young guy came up to me after the session. He said, I'm a neurosurgeon. I'd like to look at your films. He came home with me that night. We sat down with my wife. He took all these MRIs and X-rays and CT scans and all that. He's a teaching neurosurgeon at George Washington University Hospital.
Wow.
So You see where that's going. So anyway, he did. He consulted with the chief of neurosurgery at Fairfax Hospital. He talked to a couple of radiologists, compared notes and all that. And he came back and basically gave us some blessed assurance and said, you know, we're just going to wait this out. We'll see you in 3 months, do another MRI. We're still in the middle of all of this, still trying to figure out what's going to happen, whether this thing is going to heal or need surgery, whether, in fact, there's cancer or not. They're 98% sure it's not that. It's like jello, you know, nobody can explain. So I just wanted to share that with you and let you know I'm learning that God really answers prayers in real ways, and you're always on the verge of giving up. I know things get tough. You just got to smile, keep praying, and keep going on. So thanks very much.
Thank you. Over here.
My name is John Termini, and this is my fourth year coming through this place for Bible study, and we've had a great group. These have a dozen disciples here, you know, masquerading as human beings. And two of them I've been with for all 4 years. And I don't want to embarrass them, so they will go unnamed. So, Chris and Gil, you will remain anonymous. Anyhow, I started Bible study, understanding sort of metaphysically what God was all about. He was omniscient, omnipresent, et cetera, et cetera. But I didn't know he was a loving God. And there has to be a word in the vocabulary for omni-loving or something like that, you know. And, yeah, Jesus, thank you. And so, you know, he was a God that in many places, in many religions, has to be feared and has to be appeased. And that is not our God, even though he's an awesome God. And the other thing I come to realize is that everybody has a god. Some people worship the moon and the sun and their money and the image in the mirror. But we have a Lord. Not everyone has a Lord where we have a personal relationship. And with this Lord, you know, we can get directly to him. We don't have to go through intermediaries to get to God. We don't have to go through a broker or a bookie. We don't have to go through that, you know, two cushion shot to get to God. We can get to God straight on to Jesus, one-on-one. And with him, on the yellow brick road to his kingdom, you know, we may stumble and trip and whatnot, but he won't let us fall. And if we grow weary and tired, he will just throw us over his shoulder and carry us there. You know, I believe that. So in a way, the God of the Old Testament becomes the Lord of the New Testament. Does that make sense to you guys? He's God in the Old Testament, but he's Lord in the New Testament. And I remember reading that the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, and the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. That makes a lot of sense to me. The other thing that I had a little trouble with was this notion about Christ plus nothing. You know, just Christ, love for Christ. Is all you had to have. You didn't have to work. You didn't have to earn it. You know, in most religions, good works are sort of front-loaded, and you get salvation on the back end. Well, in Christianity, grace is front-loaded, and on the back end, you have good works, and that's merely a manifestation of your Holy Spirit and your belief in God. So I did have a little trouble with that. because I wasn't raised, I mean, I was raised with all these mottos, you know, God helps those who help themselves. I mean, my mother always told me that. I was born and raised in New York City, which is a fairly competitive environment, and you had to do it on your own. If you didn't do it, it wasn't going to happen. If you didn't get out of bed in the morning, nothing moved and nothing happened. And all of a sudden I come here, and when it comes to the most important thing in my eternal life, I don't have to do anything for it except have faith in Jesus Christ. Now that's an offer you can't refuse, let's face it. So my wife has been in Bible study for many years, and she's been always, over these past 4 years, has been eyeing my progress, you know. And a couple of weeks ago, she just sort of asked me, you know, well, how do you feel? What do you feel? And I said, we were just at the dinner table. And I said, you know, I feel free. And I feel unburdened and unshackled. And she calls all the kids and tells Daddy, Daddy feels free, you know. And so before coming over here tonight, I did a little blow-up of something that sort of depicts where I am right now. You know, we know that Jesus Christ came down, and when he came down to free us, we were on death row, but I like the analogy that we were in debtor's prison, you know. The law put us there, and it was the very law that put us there was the same law that kept us from getting out. And how on God's earth and how on earth can you pay a debt if you're in jail? Well, Christ comes down, and he tore the curtain of the Holy of Holies. Is I got that right? And he liberated all the prisoners. You know, he sprung the jail doors open, and we all got this Monopoly card where it says, get out of jail free. So it turns out that you may, Christianity is the greatest jailbreak in history. And that's the way I look at it.
Thank you. Do not, do not pass go, do not collect $200, right? Anybody else? Oh, over here, we got two.
Why don't you get him, I'll go up front and get the next one. Right here. Excuse me, guys.
Just real quick, I'm not used to a microphone. I guess I started coming here in 2005, joined Phil and Steve after the first year. And I was working down the street in Tyson's, so it was an easy trip on Tuesday night. Then I got a new job in January 2007, and my wife said, well, you're not going to be going to CBS anymore, right? And I thought about it, and I thought, no, you know, I have to go. I have to go because I love these guys, I love the time, and, you know, I get out of church on Sunday, and by Tuesday, it's time again. It's time to get convicted, and it's time to get encouraged. And now it's 2012, and I can't really imagine the week without it. So thanks to the group, to the guys, to everybody here. Thanks to Jerry for convicting and encouraging every week.
Let's see, I'm Mark, and I have a little of a tremor problem, so don't let that scare you off. But I'm new this year, and so I felt like one other new person should say something. And I remember coming the first night, and I don't know if my wife actually how this conversation went, but I know I was thinking this. You know, I got home, and I was thinking, man, you know, I got two problems, two big problems with the group. Bear with me. The first one is I'm from Mississippi. I'm an Ole Miss fan, and our football team is horrible. And I just don't know if I can go every week and listen to this Alabama football garbage every single week. That's problem one. But it's worse than that, because my father was a high school football coach in Mississippi. And so I grew up in a house where everything was a football analogy, you know, and there's just... The first week, I think we put Jesus on the scoreboard. We played all four quarters. Jesus was on the jersey. And I thought, man, I grew up with these football analogies. I don't know if I can do that every week. I'm just, bear with me. So I thought about it for a while, and I was like, well, I'm going to give it a try. You know, I'm not doing small group right now, so I got to do something. So I'm going to give it a try. And you know what? I was an Alabama fan before I was an Ole Miss fan. So I can, maybe I'll, I don't want anybody else to pull for this year, obviously. So not, Lord, I'd never do that. But anyway, you know, I really think that what I grow to love about Jerry and his teaching is that, you know, it's a hard week, and if you kind of break the week up, it really helps, and it really helps to have somebody who's, you know, my father was a high school football coach, and he can be very motivational, but he's never preaching about putting Jesus on the scoreboard, and it can be very, it's very helpful to have somebody in the middle of your work week to say, hey, go hit somebody, but not just go hit them, like go hit them for God, you know, go hit them for the right reasons. And so, you know, it really keeps you going. It keeps you energetic, for me at least. And then two more things really quickly. The other was, I've had a friend recently who's just gone through a lot of trouble, and his coworker. And, you know, just to be able to say to him, hey, look, the Hall of Fame of God is Hebrews 11, which I'd never really heard referred that way, but maybe that's because my father wasn't preaching Jesus. He's a Christian. I don't mean it that way. But he wasn't coaching Jesus, and so to be able to tell to him, hey, look, you know, half those people lived really hard lives. You know, you're going through a lot, but you're not the first person of God to go through a lot of struggles. And I think that really hit home with him. So I think I learned something there. And then the second, I just want to thank Ed, my our core group leader, and really all the leaders. You know, I think that one of the hardest things, and this is something that Ed's really good at, and that's just being here every week, you know, showing up every week, not knowing if any of us are coming, really. Usually we have a big group tonight. There's three of us. So for all the leaders, I just want to say thank you for, you know, at least just showing up every single week. Yeah.
Maybe your brother will follow up after you. One of my two favorites.
That's
new
probably
guys
unlikely.
Right here. Some of my new guys here.
I'm a new guy as well, and Howard Jenkins, and yeah, I just want to say thanks to Jerry, who I met a couple years ago, and to the guys here. You know, this has been great, not only in terms of my spiritual growth and being a leader for my family, but getting to come here with my brother, and you know, we've been trying. Maybe we've had the wrong attitude, but we've gone to a couple small groups that have been unfortunate. You know, just not real relatable. We did the Joe Gibbs 2-minute drill courses, and did the football analogies, and we like Jerry's a lot more. You know, it's been great because, you know, I think even. Hopefully I can speak for my brother. You know, we live around the corner from each other. We're 2 years apart, have families, probably like all of you all have the stresses with families and the blessings as well. But, you know, being able to talk more in commonality with Christ and some of the things that we're learning here and being able to pray and pray more purposefully, you know, that's just been a real blessing. And so... You know, our wives are both in CBS, and I think, you know, just seriously being in the game each week, some weeks when, frankly, maybe work was busy or just didn't want to come, I felt like it was always a blessing, and I felt like I always learned something. And, you know, and our wives recognize that as well, and I think our kids, and, you know, I just being in the corporate life, you know, it's been really cool at work just to have an excuse sometimes, like to either have my Bible out, or I feel like I've had guys in, I'm in the finance field, kind of come up and say, hey, you know, you want to go out and grab a beer, and there have been just multiple opportunities to say, hey, I can't, and why, and I'm going to Bible study, and you know, it's led to some conversations, and I've actually got a lunch with a guy that's resonated with, who actually went to real estate prayer breakfast that Jerry spoke at a couple weeks ago, that wants to learn about more what's different in my life. So just want to thank core group leader who's had to take off, but thank you to Jerry and our Canadian friend. No, sorry, it's an accent. Sorry, I got you mixed up. Okay. No, but
the biscuit in the basket. No, that's
no. But I, in all seriousness, I appreciate your preparation and Jerry and all the guys here. It's really been a blessing this year.
Thank you. Okay, we got time for maybe one or two more. One more. One. Oh. I'm sorry. Usually, you know,
you got to get a haircut, buddy.
Yeah, I know. Here you go.
Paul, that's you they're talking to. You need the haircut. Hi, I'm Gordon Langley, and been going about 5 years also. And a lot of themes going on here tonight. We got some gambling over there. We got a little football here. Ours is Las Vegas. Whatever's said here stays here. So, which is nice. We have a group where we go back in our room and we can share about our wives, our kids, or whatever, and it stays there and it doesn't go on. And it's great. It's really nice. As some number of you have said, and we got to have somebody we need to talk to. We heard that at McLean Bible this weekend also. And I want to thank you for, Jerry, for your life, your ministry. My wife notices a difference in my life by coming here. She does, and she's looking at me. Yeah, I mean, but she really does. So I really appreciate that. So thank you so much, because she's always checking me out all the time. But thank you, and if you guys could pray for me, somebody. I have had the upper respiratory infection for about 2 months now. I have been to three doctors, a sixth appointment tomorrow, all kinds of drugs, and it's not going away. I can't hear, I can't taste, I can't smell, and it's just not great. So if you think about me in your prayers, I really appreciate it this next week, okay?
Amen. I guess no cigars, huh?
What'd you say?
No cigars, huh? He's a cigar fan, a little inside. All right, one last one. Somebody want to give, before we bring Jerry up, one last. Is the Spirit moving anybody in here? It's all yours.
I'll Jerry. Take a minute, Paul.
Oh, sure, go ahead.
I'm hiding. Okay. I just want to publicly and thank Paul for everything he's done this year. We're all giving thanks tonight, but I've spent a lot of time with him and really enjoy the time, Mike, I'm here. We all go off the group and spending time with Paul and Dan and Jerry, too. But Paul, man, y'all, he is just such a man of Christ, and I share his family with him, and it's just so fun to see the joy he has when he's talking about his kids and everything. And he does a lot in preparation for us that we do appreciate, but I just want to make sure we all thank him appropriately.
Thank you, buddy.
Oh, thanks. Well, to the young man from Ole Miss, you come from a great school with a great tradition, and you guys will be back. I'll give you a word of comfort. My freshman year, I was game captain against Ole Miss, and our regular punter got hurt, and they put me in, and so Ole Miss caught that, and they had 11 guys on the line. They were coming. And I thought to myself, screw trying to kick a spiral. I'm just going to kick it as hard as I can because these guys are coming. They had Archie Manning on the team. And so I got all of it. Went straight up, good for 9 yards. My friends in Tuscaloosa said they could hear the Ole Miss fans laughing over the radio back in Tuscaloosa. It's the last time I was in that town. But one of my son's godfathers was an All-American for Coach Vaught, so I'm with you all the way. Dr. Dale, you know, Dale Matthews has done research on prayer and faith. I want to give you a couple of closing comments, but come over here and pray for our dear brother Gordy, will you, Doc? Say a prayer for him, and we'll pray along with you.
Let us pray. Lord, we just come before you now, and we know that you are the author of all healing, and that all things are possible for those who believe. Lord, we just pray that you will place your hand upon Gordy now and bring your healing touch, that same healing touch that brought sight to the blind, that brought hearing to the deaf, that brought life into death. Lord, we pray that your hand will be upon Gordy now. We ask that you bless him. Bring your healing hand. Fill his heart with joy. And may every breath of his lungs be filled with your spirit. We pray for wisdom for all who are caring for him. And we pray for strength for Gordy and for his wife as they handle this illness. And we pray for a successful outcome and a restoration of health. For you are the great physician, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Let's do another one. Get your brother over there. Why don't you stand up? I have Doc pray for you. So we, I know your group's praying for you, but I want all the guys to pray along with you.
I am standing.
Lord, we lift before you Rick. We just thank you for his great witness today. And Lord, you have said that without faith, it's impossible to please you. And Lord, we thank you for the faith that Rick has shown through this sometimes very dark period. But we're also grateful for all of the wonderful things that have happened, for the faithfulness of his friends, for doctors who show up in Bible study to help him. And Lord, we know that you are always turning your eye towards health. And we lift before you, Rick, and we pray for continued health. We pray for a clarification of his diagnosis. We pray for strength, and we pray for healing. In Jesus' name, amen.
He's just moved his practice to McLean, Virginia, if anybody needs a doctor. Are you an internist?
Yes.
You mean you're not a neurosurgeon?
No. Nope.
Okay. Well, I'm still proud of you anyway, okay? I knew her. I had a friend who was a neurosurgeon. I know. I had a friend who's a neurosurgeon. It can be overrated. He told me, had a plumber come to his house to fix a toilet. When the plumber billed him, he said, "Good Lord, I'm a neurosurgeon. I don't make that kind of money." The plumber said, "I know. When I was a neurosurgeon, I didn't make that kind of money either." Which feels true if you've had plumbing lately. Well, listen, you know, the gift of laughter is the net we reel souls in. Mother Teresa said, joy, you know, Jesus said, I want my joy to be in you. Now, you notice when you read the scripture, when he said that, people, whoa, what joy? What's he talking about? I mean, obviously, he was a man on the one hand of many sorrows. Life's serious. And but on the other hand, you know, that we have the mathematical possibility for joy. I like that jailbreak thing. I just got some new material. I will use that probably at the real estate prayer breakfast next year. Just want to let you know up front, I'm going to take full credit for it. Where did you get that? I like that jailbreak thing. Yeah. Well, I know that, but did you, that the way to share the gospel like that, did you just kind of make that up? Yeah. Yeah, well, you're from New York. You're from New York. It's your world, right? Oh, so. It's better than you. Yeah. Oh. Well, you know, I remember through the years, I'm not even sure. I remember when John Schreiber and a bunch of us were sitting around with others, some of you here, talking about starting a class and praying for it. But I remember some years there were so many guys in here. All the chairs, guys were standing along the walls. It was so packed out from time to time. I think that was when we used to meet on Thursday in the church. Changed this to Tuesday. So we're going back to Thursday. Holly announced it at her class. Paul, can somebody who knows how to do computers, can we do like a computer flyer that guys can invite people, just sending it to them and it's attractive and somehow get it out to everybody if they want to forward it? Because I want to tell you why. You know, my mentor told me one time, he said, boys, all of you all, and this was in September when we were in school, he said, you know, all you boys have yearbook power. And we said, what is that? He said, you literally have the power right now to determine what people you know will write in their yearbooks next May in the future. Instead of, didn't we have a blast in English, your magic don't ever change. You know, something a little more profound than that. You've been with me. You've been the truest friend I've ever had. I can't thank you enough. God bless you. And so he taught us yearbook power. You have yearbook power in this sense. You know, I grew up unchurched, didn't know anything. I went to church a few times, like for weddings or funerals. That was kind of it. And showed up drunk for a Christmas Eve service one time with my friend, but don't remember much of that service either, you know, to our shame. But I had a friend in college, my freshman year at college, who invited me to go to a Fellowship of Christian Athletes summer camp, and then he invited me to go to Young Life. He didn't share the gospel with me. He didn't disciple me. He just made friends with me. I was drawn to him because I thought he was one of our quarterbacks on the team. He had a kind heart. He was an upperclassman. Instead of hazing us, he actually gave us rides to classes in his car and stuff, and he was the only letterman that did things like that. And I did see a Bible on his desk in his room, but he didn't hit us over the head with his Bible. But he invited us, and I found Christ, and it changed four generations in my family. Think that matters? How much did Christ matter to me when I stood by my dear mother's coffin? Was it religion then, or was it ultimate reality? I preached at my father's funeral. I spoke at my brother's funeral, and I have another brother in Arlington Seminary. How much does it matter in that moment? And it always gets down to that moment. Thank God that my teammate invited me to go to a place where somebody could share the gospel in my language in a way I could understand it. You have that power. You can use it or not use it. I'm not trying to guilt trip you or anything like that. I'm just telling you the truth, and the truth is your friend. I want you to pray this prayer, not for me, but for the Lord, and just say, hey, Lord, if there's anybody you want me to invite, or multiple people you want me to invite, you put it on my heart. Do you think Christ is interested in in this topic? Yes. He said, if you follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. Do you know biblically one of the bomb-proof signs that you're truly following Christ isn't even that you read the Bible and you show up at church or Bible studies, is that it's that you're fishing. And if you're not fishing, you're not following. You're still seeking. Come see, come follow, come die. Those are the three levels of tracking with Christ. Come see. Christ let people hang around him, some of them for years, just to check him out, to see what he was like. How did he speak? What did he teach? How did he treat people? How does he act? And then one day he's going to walk up to you and raise the bar and go, now it's time for you to follow me. You still in? And then after you follow him for a season, could be years, one day he's going to say, time to die. You still in? Now, you may be physically martyred, or you're going to go to the last level of your maturity where you die to yourself and your life just really isn't about you. It really isn't about you anymore. You literally exist every day for the benefit of those around you and Christ. Now, if you fish, if you've ever literally fished, you know, you don't necessarily have to even catch anything to be a fisherman, but you do have to fish and get your line in the water. But I will tell you this, you probably won't catch anything unless you get your net in the water. You got to get it out of the boat in the water. So I want to fire you up as we go out the locker room one more time. That's a foot, not only football, baseball has locker rooms and basketball has locker rooms. Your dad needs to get out more. Yeah. And soccer. Did you say soccer? No, I'm a lacrosse dad. I made that huge lacrosse mistake when Tucker hit somebody too hard and they threw a flag. I'm like, come on, this ain't soccer. And these parents right here go, our kids play soccer. So I spun it. I go, oh, then you know what I'm talking about, right? I thought it was funny. They didn't think it was funny. You know, you could trust God for one fish and we double. We double. And there's a lot of guys not here. And you know, this is a grind. I mean, I'm so proud of you guys. You know, I'm honored that most of you call me coach. And you know, I feel like you guys are my boys. And it's not an age thing. It's just a coach-player relationship. And when a coach decides that you're his boys, you'll always be his boys. I pray for you, men. I love you, men. You really are treasure to me. And all the guys that aren't here, there are a lot of guys involved in this group, as you know, that aren't here. But, you know, I just want you to think what this can mean to somebody else, not just their personal life, but generations and their family. I heard a story from one of the gals in Holly's women's CBS, and I didn't know her name. You could be the guy here tonight or one of the guys that's not here. And she said, you know, my husband got into CBS, and it was a couple of years ago we did Philippians. She said, we're going down 95, headed toward that sombrero thing. What is that? They have billboards south of the border. I guess they're going to Jacksonville. But she said, we were about to hit the sombrero place. And she said, my husband turns to me and said, have you ever read the book of Philippians? She said, right there, I thought he was speaking in tongues. Just that he, she said, what? He said, have you ever read the book of Philippians? And she said, yes. He said, you know, Paul was quite an interesting guy. You know, there are four chapters in the book of Philippians. And she told Holly, and my husband went through every chapter and told me what was in every chapter. 1, 2, 3. She said, I sat there on I-95 and I wept the whole way thinking I have a brand new husband. And he's logged on to the Word of God. It's changing him. And this is yearbook power. What does that mean to that family? His approach now to his marriage, his children. Do you know when I'm ministering to my children, here's what the wise man knows. I'm actually discipling my grandchildren. When I discipled my children when they were in junior high and high school and late elementary, when they were old enough to start taking it in, I was literally ministering to my grandchildren. This is what the visionary knows. This is what the wise man knows. He thinks 32 steps ahead. And so I enjoy my grandchildren so much, and I'm always thanking my children for doing such a great job with them. And they're like, well, Mom, Pop, you did a great job with us. And like, what an investment. And then it goes all the way back to my freshman year at Alabama. Some guy invited me to go to the Fellowship of Christian Athletes camp. And then the next week I went to a Young Life camp in Colorado. Now, every man here has that power. A couple of more examples, and I'll give it back to Paul or whoever's closing. You know, we have a journalist group. You know, Brit Hume speaks the name of Jesus on international TV now. They're like in countries around the world. But when that journalist group started, Fred Barnes and another guy named Rome Hartman. Rome was a producer at 60 Minutes. What are they, CBS? The three of us meet in the Mayflower Hotel, and they said to me, would you teach it if we want to get start a journalist group? We don't know if there's, this may be the first one in the history of the world as far as we know. I said, it'll be the only one I've ever heard of. They said, well, he said, I have five names and he has five names. Britt was one of Fred's draft picks. They went to UVA together. And Rome had, Hartman had some picks. He said, well, I guess we'll just go invite him. I said, no. I want you to pray about every day for your five guys. Every day, bathe it in prayer. We'll meet again next week. Just so I can look at you and say, did you pray for him every day for 7 days? You know, like Joshua had to go around and then invite him. Ask God to go before you and bust up the dirt. You know, you don't do it on your charm alone. And so we did it. And they told me we did it. We prayed for our five draft picks every day. And so they invited 10 guys, and guess how many accepted invitations to that group? 10 out of 10, which is ridiculous in Washington. So I'm telling you, if you want to have some fun, if you want your faith to come alive, go, God, I want to catch at least one fish, maybe more this summer. I want to see them in here in God's Word. And you know this ain't the Jerry Leachman Show. I have the gift of motivation, inspiration, perspiration, but I can't organize a two-car funeral. I don't run anything. I never know. I have to call them to say what time is CBS sometimes. People say they're ADD, but I really am. And Paul and all these guys run everything. Dan, you do something. What do you sign people up? What do you do? I mean, when if CBS sends me an... You're the coordinator? That sounds a little weird. Coordinator sounds like a clothing thing. But I'll go, I'll be optimistic and go, that's good. No, how about a football example? A defensive coordinator? No, offensive. I'm going to make you the offensive coordinator, okay? So here's my last one. You know, we don't really know what Andrew did. We only know Andrew was the brother of Peter. But Andrew found Jesus first, and we only know of one thing he did in the whole Bible. But if you were in sales, this is the equivalent of getting the IBM account. Pretty good career. He met Jesus, and he went and found his brother Peter and said, we found Jesus. You want to meet him? Peter's like, yeah. Andrew introduced his brother Peter to Jesus. And on the day of Pentecost, the great Peter preached and 3,000 people came to Christ. Peter became the greatest pastor in the history of the church. But Andrew got the account. He did the invite. Good job. No Andrew, no Peter, no day of Pentecost. It's like George Bailey's brother won the Medal of Honor, saving all those men on the ship. But that part of that movie, you know that movie, A Wonderful Life? I love Clarence the Angel showing him around. And there's his brother's grave when he was 8 years old. He goes, no, my brother won the Congressional Medal of Honor. And Clarence goes, no, George, your brother didn't win the Medal of Honor. He wasn't there to save the men on the ship because you weren't here to save him in that pond when he was 8. Can't you see how one life is connected to so many others? And we are not exempt. So let your faith really come to life. Have an adventure this summer. I want you to read the Bible like Jim Wright said, but I want you to go fishing. It's time to go fishing. And let's see what God might do when we show up next fall. I want to run into people that I don't know next September. And that's yearbook power. Let's have a little prayer, because God's alive. It may surprise you where you are in 5 years, but it won't surprise God a bit. If you're going through a tough time or you're fighting fear and anxiety, just relax and calm your heart. The Lord's on it. You're on his radar. He sees you right now. Lord, I pray for every man in here that you would tingle his heart with some excitement about you can use him. Maybe you can't get up and preach on Pentecost, but anybody can be Andrew. Anybody can be Andrew if they want to be. Lord, I pray for all the men out there that need to be here next year in your word, that are going to be in here next year, because some of these boys, they're going to go out there and fish because they want to follow you. You said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. So, Lord, I supernaturally pray that you would bust up the dirt in front of these men, that they would know that they would prepare their fields for rain, because you're going to bring the rains that grow the crops. And I pray that we'd have a rest this summer and we'd come back next September with just hopping excitement in Christ. Lord, you really are alive. The world's a scary place. This is a really, really good time to be close to you. So, Lord, take these men tonight, heal them, raise their confidence in you, raise their confidence in themselves that you made them. You have a plan for them. And like I said, it may surprise them where they are next week, next month, next year, next 5, next 10 years, but it won't surprise you at all. You've already been to the future and back. Just let everybody have a sense of peace right now. You're here in the room, and you can see not only what people are thinking, you can see how they feel and what they're thinking. I pray every man in the hearing of my voice, his confidence would be raised, his consciousness that he is connected to you would be palpably aware to him in this moment. That you would make his arms stronger and his heart braver. Give these men great faith and great joy. I pray they would be a blessing everywhere they go. I pray everybody around them that they would raise the level of their games. They would have a servant's heart and that they would make everybody around them more successful. Lord, there's no more fun than that. Lastly, Lord, I pray every man here would be George Bailey for Christ and that their life would network and touch so many others that they would all use and realize that they have it, their yearbook power. In Christ's name, amen. All right, hit somebody.
Let's pick up the tables, guys, and I think we have some pizzas. Somebody grab them on the way out. Unless they're going to waste. Bring them home to your kids. Thank you. God bless you.
I wandered so aimless, life filled with sin. I wouldn't let my dear Savior in.